Sunday the 21st of May 2017, 9 o'clock service. Sermon series, Jesus as Servant. Sermon title, A Servant's Call. Bible reading, Luke chapter 5 verses 1 to 11. Talk by Roger Whip.
The reading this morning is taken from Luke chapter 5. Verses 1 to 11, the calling of the first disciples. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret with the people crowding round him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signalled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. And this is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your gift of Jesus, our servant king. And it's my prayer this morning, Lord, that not only will we be reminded of what he did for us, but also our responsibilities to also be servants for you. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark Twain once spent a pleasant 3 weeks in the Maine woods, and on his way home, making himself comfortable in the train to New York, a sour-faced man sat down next to him. And the two struck up a conversation. "Been to the woods, have ye?" asked the stranger. "I have indeed," replied Twain. "And let me tell you something. It may be closed season for fishing up here in Maine, but I've a couple of £100 and the finest rock bass you have ever saw ice down in the baggage car. By the way, who are you, sir?" "I'm the state game warden." "Who are you?" Twain thought and replied, "Oh, pleased to meet you. Who am I? Oh, why, I'm the biggest liar in the United States." Now, in my youth, I used to go fishing, normally with my best mate at the time, Des. Now, Des was very good at angling, and in later life, he actually became a semi-pro. And even as a kid, he knew the best places to fish. Often we'd be sitting on a riverbank, me catching nothing and him with a keep net full of fish. However, on numerous occasions, it was strange how when he needed to change his bait or go to the loo, my float would end up where he had been fishing. Let's be fair, you should be able to take a few liberties with a good mate, shouldn't you? Now, although doing so never made me a great angler, I did catch more fish when I poached into his territory. Now, in today's reading, we have fishermen not doing it for leisure or pleasure, but they were successful businessmen. It was their livelihood. Yet by the power of the Holy Spirit's conviction, they gave it all up to follow Christ, to cast their nets not into the sea, but into a completely different direction and with a different purpose. If you like, not to catch a Dover soul, but the souls of mankind. To join Jesus on an evangelistic, exciting and life-changing journey. Now, I don't want you to panic if I use the word evangelism, because it can put fear into the hearts of many, including some Christians. But it's a journey that Jesus wants us all to take. Okay, it may not be necessary for you to change your career. That might mean casting our nets in another direction. To take a chance to accept perhaps a new challenge. Now, although Prince Philip recently retired from public service at the age of 95, there is no such thing as retirement in Christian service. So I don't want to hear from anybody, oh, I'm too old to do that, or I'm past my sell-by date, all right? Because you can still be servants of God. Now, I guess most of you by now know the name Rick Warren. A lot of our home group material is based on his writing. And as I researched this sermon, I discovered that I have a lot in common with him. Not only our wonderful preaching skills, if only, but our angling skills. If you want to be a successful fisherman, you don't look for the most comfortable spot on the lake, said Rick Warren. He's a senior pastor of the Saddleback Valley Community Church. Instead, you go to where the fish are and you make it as easy and as attractive as possible for the fish to swallow your hook. And Warren said the same is true when fishing for men. Unfortunately, many churches don't take the time to understand the people they want to reach, and they don't have a strategy. They want to win people to Christ as long as it can be done in a comfortable way. Warren said that he learnt this principle from his father, who was a fisherman. If there was only one fish in the lake or stream, my dad would catch it. Warren said, as I got older, I realised his secret. My dad understood fish and caught them on their terms. In contrast, I never had a strategy when I went fishing. I'd cast out anywhere in the lake, hoping something might bite. Well, my dad would crawl through bushes or get wet up to his waist in order to get where the fish were. My fishing spots were usually determined by what was most comfortable to me. I had no strategy, and my results showed it. And one went on to say that Jesus gave 5 fishing guidelines for evangelism, and that Saddleback Church grew from only 4 members to over 15,000 using this simple strategy. 1. Know what you're fishing for. The kind of fish you want to catch will determine every part of strategy. A woman said, fishing for bass, catfish or salmon requires different equipment, bait and timing. There's no one-size-fits-all approach to fishing. The same is true when we're fishing for men, and of course women as well. Warren noted that when Jesus sent his disciples out on their first evangelistic campaign, he clearly defined their target. In Matthew 10, verse 5 to 6, it says this, these 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. Of course, that was to change later on, but at that specific time, they was given a target. Second thing he said was, go where the fish are biting. Now, it's a waste of time to fish in a spot where the fish aren't biting. And Warren says that wise fishermen move on. They understand that fish are not hungry all the time. And Warren said, noting that the Apostle Paul's strategy was to go through open doors and not waste time banging on closed ones. Don't focus your efforts on people who aren't ready to listen, said Warren, adding, there are far more people in the world ready to receive Christ than there are believers who are ready to witness to them. Third thing he said was, learn to think like a fish. In order to catch fish, it helps to understand their habits, preferences, and their feeding patterns. One said that Jesus often knew what believers were thinking. And we must learn to think like unbelievers in order to win them. And Warren continued, the problem is, the longer you're a believer, the less you think like an unbeliever. Your interests and your values change. You must intentionally change mental gears when seeking to relate to non-Christians. And I think it's important to realise that the way people in the UK think about going to church and religion is vastly different to those in the USA, where Rick Warren has his church. You know, over 40% of Americans attend church at least once a week. And if you take it with the ones that go perhaps every once a month or so, it goes up in the 60%. But in the UK, for all denominations, it's less than 4%. It seems that fishing in the USA is maybe slightly easier. However, we must not consider it to be a worthless or an impossible task. And the fourth point he makes is that catch fish on their own terms. Warren said that too often cultural differences between believers and unbelievers become barriers to getting the message out. He said, for some Christians, any talk of adapting to their culture sounds like theological liberalism. But this is not a new fear, as Warren points out. It's the reason the apostles held the Jerusalem conference, as stated in Acts chapter 15. In those days, the issue was, do Gentile believers have to follow Jewish customs and culture to be considered true Christians? And the apostles and the elders answered in a clear way, no way. No church can be culturally neutral. It will express some culture because it's composed of human beings. The problem with many churches today is that they're stuck in the culture of the 1950s, using bait and hooks that worked in that era, and they're wondering why the fish are no longer biting. However, although I agree with Rick Warren's comments, I think we must be careful not to water down the bait, the gospel message. And, you know, we mustn't water down so much that it conflicts with God's plan and purpose for us, his creation. I believe the key is in our presentation. It must be relevant, understandable, and most importantly, achievable. For example, before I became a Christian, I thought by taking the step of faith that is required, I would have to immediately be transformed into a different, alien lifestyle. And I wasn't sure that I could cope with that. You know, I used to work hard and play hard. But now I've taken that step of faith, I realised that I am still a work in progress. After 33 years, God hasn't finished with me yet, and nor is he with you. Rick's last point is use more than one hook. Warren said people have a myriad of choices today, yet many churches offer only two choices, take it or leave it. It's not pandering to consumerism to offer multiple times or even styles of worship services. And Warren said it's strategic and it's unselfish. It says we will do whatever it takes to reach more people for Christ. The goal is not to make it as difficult as people, to make it easy. Sorry, I'll read that again. The goal is not to make it as difficult as possible, but to make it as easy as possible for the unchurched to hear about Christ. Growing churches offer multiple programs, multiple services, and sometimes even multiple locations. Warren added, and they realised it takes all kinds of approaches to reach all kinds of people, using every available means to reach every available person at every available time. Thankfully, I think this is one area that St Chad's, we earn a brownie point. However, a word of warning, you know, we must remain one fellowship, not a them and us mentality. Because one of Satan's biggest weapons is divide and conquer. In conclusion, I ask the question, if we viewed ourselves not as Christ's fishermen, but his fish, what category do we fit into? A jellyfish without a backbone? Or a true fish who by definition has a backbone? Are we happy just to swim about in a shoal, you know, just one of the number? Or are we like a predator fish seeking out our prey? Are we as Christians, perhaps like most tropical fish, very attractive by either look or their nature? Or maybe we're like a cornet fish. We change colour not to be seen. You know, it's relatively easy being a Christian whilst at church, isn't it? But in the workplace or out there in the big bad world, well, that's another story, isn't it? Are we swimming with or against the tide? I wonder how many of you have ever felt like I do sometimes. Disappointed, disillusioned, or frustrated as we try to serve God. Well, again, we would be in good company. A few weeks ago, I was preaching elsewhere on the second occasion that Jesus directed the fishermen to cast their nets in a different direction, as mentioned in John 21. Now, this referred to the occasion after his death when Jesus appeared to the disciples and cooked fish on the beach. And in verse 3, Peter said, "I am going out to fish." And the Greek translation for the word that Peter used is hupago, and that literally means "I retire." That's right. Peter, the one who jumped out of the boat to walk on water, the one who told Jesus he would never deny him, although he did three times, now feels like giving up. Retiring from being a disciple and going back to being a fisherman. To be fair, who could blame him? Although Jesus has shown himself to the disciples twice before this event in the upper room, where the disciples locked themselves away for fear of getting the same as Jesus had, being crucified. Also, of course, he had his livelihood to think of. He probably had a family he needed to support. However, as he became aware of the reality that it was actually the risen Jesus, his Lord and Saviour, he and other disciples' faith was not only restored, but also strengthened. All of them served Christ, even though it cost all of them, except John, an early death. You know, we too must keep focused on the reality of Christ's death and his resurrection, that he went through all that for you and I. Now, there is a vast difference from being a leisure angler and a fisherman for Christ. Most anglers enjoy not only the challenge, but the peace and relaxation of sitting by the riverbank, and perhaps a couple of cold beers by the side as well. Now, in contrast, being a fisherman for Christ, even though it can be very challenging, can at times be far from relaxing and even peaceful. Although at the moment in the UK it's relatively peaceful, never forget to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ in such places as Syria, Iran, Iraq, Egypt and Pakistan, where they face constant fear of persecution, even unto death. However, just remember that just as a successful angler, such as my friend Des and Rick Warren's father, will have a plan, a strategy, and an understanding how to fish, as disciples, by God's grace and gifting, we too can succeed and be rewarded for our efforts. Are you prepared to join St. Chad's Angling Society? To come on a fishing trip, that'll be a challenge. And it can be an exciting, life-changing experience for you, but also the catch. Don't be put off because you don't think you have any gifting, any tackle to fish for God, because he will give you all you need to succeed. Don't also fear the thought that you might have to stand on the soapbox bashing people over the head with the Bible. The best method is following Mark Twain's example. And I don't mean by doing anything illegal or telling lies, but engage in conversation with people. Gossip the gospel when the opportunity arises. We might not be as quick thinking as Mark Twain, who seems to have an answer for everything. But pray the prayer that I often use, that God will give us the right words to say, or just as importantly, the words not to say, to lead people to Jesus. Even when we or they are placed in a difficult situation. And of course, actions speak as loud, if not sometimes even louder, than words. People need to see that we are genuine servants of Christ. You know, today I have a new best mate that I go fishing with, Jesus. And if we're obedient to his instructions and guidance, not only will our nets be filled, bringing his grace and mercy to those around us, but whenever we meet Jesus face to face, as we all will one day, he can look us in the eye and say to us, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Amen.